Welcome to Remedy and Rhyme, where the voices of poetry and plants entwine, offering nourishment for the spirit and a gentle return to the heart of nature. I'm your host, Kimberly Kling of Joyful Roots, clinical and community herbalist. I'm so glad you've joined me here to share in the stories, reflections, and simple ways these green allies can nurture our everyday lives. This podcast is for educational and inspirational purposes only. I'm not a medical doctor or a licensed health professional, and nothing shared here is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. The information provided has not been evaluated by the FDA. Herbs are powerful allies, but not without personality. If you experience an allergic reaction or discomfort from any herb mentioned, please stop using it. Also, if you're taking medications, check with your doctor about potential herb-drug interactions. Most importantly, you and you alone are the steward of your own body. What you choose to consume, apply, or integrate is entirely up to you. This is about health empowerment. Listen with curiosity and always honor your own body's wisdom. These episodes are dropped the first Wednesday of every month, and to go along with this podcast, I have a Patreon community where you can join me to explore these plants deeper. Find that at patreon.com/joyfulroots. Hello and welcome back to Remedy and Rhyme. I'm really thrilled to be with you for another episode, and today we're going to be talking all about another favorite plant ally of mine, bee balm, also known as Monarda, sweet leaf, and many other names. So, as always, let's begin with a poem. This is a short poem that I wrote called I Am a Spiral. Don't fashion me into a pinpoint. I am a spiral, traveling liminal spaces, dancing between the categories. A hurricane, a flowing tide, shape-shifting into a galaxy. Bee balm is a familiar and lively friend in my garden. I have Monarda fistulosa, which also goes by wild bergamot, among many other names, and Monarda punctata, which is spotted bee balm, in my garden, although the one that's been a pretty steady companion is the Monarda fistulosa. My spotted bee balm is just getting started taking root, but this plant has been such a graceful, beautiful, vibrant, amazing plant ally that I just absolutely love. So I'm excited to dive deeper into learning all about bee balm today. When I stand in front of my ever-growing patch of bee balm, I feel movement, joy, and I am excited to see the burst of brilliant color when bee balm is blooming. Even when the air is still, this plant sort of tingles and vibrates with energy. Those wild blossoms, the pinks and reds, are like little firecrackers of joy. They pulse outward in this like bursting style, and they remind me of how life expresses itself in bursts, how even stillness holds motion within it, especially here on Earth. As the big old bumblebee bob around the flowers, their buzzing joy reminds me of motion as well, and the dance of life. Bee balm is a spiral in plant form. You can feel it when you go and sit with her, the way her scent wafts, minty and sharp with undertones that ground you back to the earth. Bee balm doesn't move in straight lines. She dances, and she moves and sways in the breezes with rhythm. In the way that bee balm behaves, she's teaching us about flow, the creative, messy, non-linear kind, about breaking through the categories, the labels, the rigid boxes we like to put on ourselves or put on others. And bee balm teaches us about inhabiting the in-between spaces instead of staying strictly in those categories or labels. There's a kind of magic in how bee balm holds paradox, that wonderful word that seems to always pop up in these podcast episodes. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's amazing how fantastic the plant world is at holding two seemingly opposite aspects at once. Like the whole plant kingdom is teaching us to break things apart and get out of our limited way of viewing the world. Bee balm is fiery yet cooling at the same time, stimulating yet calming, exuberant yet grounding. Bee balm embodies the lesson that vitality doesn't always mean going faster or doing more. Sometimes vitality means moving energy that's been stuck and then letting it spiral outward into something entirely new, something new to take shape. Bee balm's super bright crown-like blossoms remind me of the crown chakra, especially the bright fuchsia blossoms of the Monarda fistulosa. The crown chakra is the place where we connect to inspiration, to the unseen, to the divine spark within us. And bee balm teaches that it's not helpful to just stay up there in the realm of ideas all of the time. We also have to bring that spark back down into the body, into the breath, into the nerves and the skin and the root chakra in order to really give it roots. It's really no wonder that bee balm is such an ally for frayed nerves and scattered energy. For those times when our minds spin too fast, bee balm helps us spin back into rhythm. Not with anxiety, but more in flow. Bee balm takes the scattered nervous energy and pulls it back into the body, down where it can anchor into that root chakra again and connect the crown to the root. This is how our chakras should flow. If you look at the bee balm flower, it looks like a neuron or kind of like a hurricane or a galaxy, which all look very similar. And I think in that, bee balm is teaching us that we all contain multitudes. Our bodies are a part of nature, and within our bodies swirl the same patterns that are found in nature, the same spirals of thought, and storm and star both alike. Bee balm is bringing us back to a place where we remember that we're not singular or simple. We're not the labels that society puts on us or that we put on ourselves. We're complex, cosmic beings. We're made of movement, connection, and light. Energetically, I think of bee balm as a harmonizer, something who clears the static away and lets our inner frequency come back into tune. If you tend to hold heat in the head or the heart area, or if you've been overextended in your giving and your energy is frayed, bee balm offers a kind of fiery compassion, giving warmth to boundaries and energy that renews instead of burning too bright and burning out. So bee balm is inviting us to release control, to remember that life moves in spirals, not straight lines, and that healing, creativity, and even grief are all a part of that spiral. Bee balm, in her own exuberant way, is helping us to dance with the expansiveness of truth instead of resisting it. Across Turtle Island, also known as North America, the spiral is one of the oldest shapes carved into stone. You can find it etched into canyon walls, painted onto poetry, and woven into baskets, appearing in indigenous art and cosmologies from the Southwest rock art petroglyphs to the left-turning spiral of Mississippian pottery and engraved stone. While each nation has its own meanings, teachings, and ceremonial contexts, the spiral often reflects movement, the turning of the seasons, the currents of wind and water, the path of the sun, and the ongoing cycle of life, death, and renewal. Archaeologists have found spiral petroglyphs aligned with solstices and equinoxes, suggesting that for some cultures, the symbol also traced the dance between the earth and the sky. And across many indigenous traditions, the spiral can signal a journey, inward or outward, an ever-unfolding motion of growth, spirit, and connection. Because these teachings really belong to the people who've carried them for generations, I won't claim them as my own or retell their sacred stories, but I honor that this land already knows the spiral, this land I'm living on, this land of Turtle Island, and it has been understood here long before any colonial language named it. In that spirit, I'm going to share a story that I created about the Spiral Keeper, and I'm not sharing this as any sort of replacement for Indigenous wisdom or an attempt to extract from it, but more so as a creative echo, a contemporary story that's one of creation that will harmonize, hopefully, with the long-standing reverence for the spiraling movement on this land. And it's sort of an offering that I've tried to shape with respect, a way of acknowledging that the spiral is ancient. It's something that's known the world over, and it lives in all of us. So my story is really just meant to be a reflection of that and to bring a little bit of the flicker of the power of the spiral into your own life. In the time before form, when the world still dreamed itself into being, there was a dancing light that refused to stay still. She was a being of motion and magic called the Spiral Keeper. Wherever she moved, the air shimmered and new patterns were born. Galaxies were spun, tides turned, and hearts began to beat, spirals unfolding in infinite fractals. But one day the Spiral Keeper saw that the beings of Earth had begun to forget their rhythm. They moved in straight lines and hard edges, cutting themselves away from the dance of the universe. They no longer listened to the hum of bees or the whisper of wind through petals. Their multitudinous nature was lost to labels and lines, rigid rules they create for themselves that were born of good intention at first, but aided in their forgetting of their true nature and their connection to Earth. The Spiral Keeper wanted to help, but she could not take solid shape. Her nature was motion itself, so she had to call upon the above and the below, the sky and the soil. And from these, mixed with her motion, she formed a blossom that carried her spirit, a flower that taught how to be expansive and bold, yet rooted in the earth. This is how bee balm came to grow along the meadows and the forest edges. Each bloom is a small galaxy echoing the vastness above and slender stems and green leaves that anchor that energy into the earth. Bee balm is showing us that we can all spiral with the rhythm of the earth when we stay in harmony with her. The wind passes through her, as it's actually doing right now outside my window. You can still hear the Spiral Keeper's laughter, a reminder that energy never dies. It only changes form. To those who have forgotten how to move with life's rhythms, bee balm whispers, "You are not meant to be linear. You are a spiral too." Just as the Spiral Keeper teaches movement on the soul level, the bee balm plant carries that same wisdom into the body. Her gifts are fiery but balanced, helping us to move what's grown stagnant, clear what's become congested, and open channels of breath and expression. Bee balm is often connected with the respiratory system, where her bright aromatic oils help to ease the weight of congestion and support more open rhythmic breathing. She's known to encourage gentle sweating, helping the body to release heat that's been overwhelming the system. This is a quality that's been long recognized by many Indigenous people who used bee balm in teas and steams during fever or illness. That same diffusive energy reaches the nervous system too. When the mind feels tangled up or overspun, bee balm's fragrance and flavor can soothe the edges, restoring a sense of warmth and clarity. There's something about bee balm's vibrancy that helps us exhale again to remember that the nervous system is an incredibly interconnected system that's in tune with the rest of our body. Thymol is the same compound that gives thyme and oregano their sharp cleansing scent. And bee balm actually contains a great amount of thymol. It's highly antimicrobial. This makes bee balm a valuable ally for the skin and mouth. Whether used in infused honey for the throat or applied topically for small wounds, burns, or bee stings. And because of the way that bee balm diffuses energy, she also helps to rekindle digestion, stirring that inner fire, that inner digestive fire in the belly when things feel slow or cold. Every part of bee balm, from the fragrant leaves to the blazing blossoms, speaks about vitality, a vitality that doesn't overpower but rather enlivens. And when sipped as a tea, inhaled in a steam, or infused into honey, bee balm reminds us and our body how to flow again. If you'd like to sit with bee balm in a simple and supportive way, a tea is one of the easiest invitations. You can steep the fresh or dried blossoms and leaves in hot water for about 10 to 15 minutes. The longer it sits, the more of bee balm's warming aromatic qualities that are going to come forward in your cup of tea, or more technically correct, your infusion. The flavor should be pretty bright and slightly spicy, somewhere in the realm of oregano, thyme, and mint combined. And this can make a lovely addition to blends that support comfort in the colder months or help to open the airways to breathe better. You can add some honey to sweeten it up a bit if you prefer. You can also make a gentle mouth rinse by steeping a strong infusion, roughly a tablespoon of dried bee balm per cup of hot water, letting it cool and then swishing it around in your mouth as you would any sort of a mouthwash. Its aromatic compounds, including the thymol that we talked about before, offer a cleansing and refreshing quality that many people enjoy for daily care and after meals. It's a little bit tingly, which is kind of fun. For an even more soothing option, you can combine the cooled tea with a little bit of salt or a splash of apple cider vinegar. And then this will keep in your fridge for roughly a few days. When we work with bee balm, it's hard not to feel that vivacious sort of bumblebee energy and movement on every level. The subtle uncoiling of your breath, the invigoration of thought, and the movement of energy. The spiral that bee balm teaches is not only on a cellular level, it's how life renews itself one spiraling curve at a time. Maybe take a moment, if you have bee balm near you or in your garden, to sit with her and breathe in her scent. Notice what part of your body responds and notice what begins to stir awake. And if you'd like to ponder some more questions around bee balm or perhaps write in your journal, here are a few suggestions of questions you can ask yourself. Where in your life do you feel the spiral energy of bee balm? Expansion, movement, or transformation? And how is it asking you to engage with it? What parts of your inner landscape feel congested, overworked, or overheated? And what would it look like to gently open space there? What story is bee balm inviting you to rewrite about your own vitality, creativity, or resilience? And how might you bring a little more aromatics, warmth, or brightness into your daily routines, either physically, emotionally, or both? Thank you so much for joining me to explore our beautiful friend bee balm. I hope you enjoyed this episode. See you next time. I would love to hear more of your poems. So if you have a poem that you would like to submit for a future episode, I would love to take a listen and see if it's right for any of the upcoming herbs that we're going to be talking about. Although I love sharing my poetry with you, I really would love to make this a community collaborative effort. So don't be shy. Feel free to send some poetry in my way. And I'm going to keep a running list of plants that I'd like to talk about in the future. You can find that list on my website at joyfulroots.com/plantpoems. That's PLANTPOEMS. And I am so excited to keep sharing the wisdom of plants and poetry with all of you. If you enjoy this journey and would like to help support this podcast, whether energetically, financially, or just by sharing it with a friend, I would be so grateful. Your support helps to keep this space alive, allows me to continue exploring new herbs, crafting new episodes, and sharing inspiration with you. One of the easiest ways to support this podcast is to rate and review it in your favorite podcast app. You can also join our Remedy and Rhyme Patreon page, which is available at patreon.com/joyfulroots. You'll find all sorts of goodies there, including plant stories, recipes, and more. There is a free membership, but if you are able to help support the podcast, there are some great perks with the paid memberships. And also, I have a shop on Patreon where you can easily purchase educational material like a class or a zine and further your own herbal knowledge. Another way that you can support the podcast is by getting yourself some of the most amazing matcha on the planet. It's Posana Matcha. It's certified organic, third-party tested to ensure that it's free of heavy metals, pure, safe, and absolutely delicious. This is the matcha that I always turn to because I know it's the highest quality and I just love it so much. So I'm excited that I can offer everybody that listens to this podcast 15% off if you use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS at checkout, and that will give me a small affiliate commission, which helps me to continue creating this empowering herbal podcast just for you. You can find the link in the show notes or head to posana.net, that's posana.net, and use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS at checkout. Thank you to Akun Baradine for their music, Bedtime After Coffee, which was in the intro and outro, and also to Lights by Sakura Girl, and Asher Fulero for Exploring the Crystal Caves, which was the music you heard in the middle of the podcast. And thank you so much to the plants, number one, the greatest of all herbal teachers, to all of the herbalists that I've learned from, there's just too many to name. And for all of my family and friends for supporting me on this podcast journey. And to all of my amazing patrons and customers and clients, this really wouldn't be possible without you. So thank you again.